Good morning. Welcome to Pentecost Sunday at First Christian Church. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship today as we listen to our prelude music. Thank you, Donna. Good morning again. Today we have a few announcements. This Friday, June 14th at 6 p.m., is the church picnic. And so whether cooperating will be out in the playground area enjoying some nice weather, and if not, I know there's contingency plans. So if you do want to come to that, please bring a potluck dish or a dessert to share. And CWF or DWM are going to be providing the main dish, which will be manwich sandwiches. It does make me a little nervous that the Christian women are cooking man sandwiches, but I'm nervous about that. So I won't be early, but I will be there. The other thing, there's a few other announcements in the bulletin. A few things for our youth to highlight is that Vacation Bible School will be up at Bear Trap Meadow, as usual, this year on Saturday, July 27th. So if there's people in your family that are loosely affiliated or not affiliated or totally affiliated with church and you'd like to see them there, please sign them up. And if you have any questions, you can contact Jennifer Grooms. Her number's listed there. And then during the summer, usually when we let the children go for children's time, we have worship and wonders, children's Sunday school, those types of things. During the summer, we have Veggie Tales in the boardroom. And so if you've ever wanted to help out with the children's ministry, but were nervous you were going to get sand day for worship and wonder, this is a lot easier. So if you have any questions or desire to help out with turning on some Veggie Tale movies in the boardroom with our kiddos, please again contact either Jennifer Grooms or Maggie Grooms. With that, we'll go ahead and stand and greet one another today, and then we'll come back together and truly begin our Pentecost worship with our opening hymn number 248.
Thank you.
Today's call to worship can be found in your hymnal on page 240. Spirit of God, we have gathered together in this place to pray and to make ourselves ready for your coming. Give us faith. Give us courage that we may not fear the tongues of flame.
Let all that is unworthy, impure, and sinful be burned from our lives. May we know that it is love that burns so brightly, and love that strips away our sin.
Give us an open mind, Lord, that the truth you bring may make its home with us. Give us an open heart, Lord,
that we may seek all people from your realm and set no limits to the proclaiming of your word.
Holy Spirit, with the whole church, we wait for you in every place and in every generation.
Come wind, come fire, come truth, come love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Will you please pray with me? Glorious Trinity, make your presence known in this place through our worship, our prayer, and the reading of your word. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, within whose unity lies all that is you, perfect love, justice, peace, and power. As we gather here today, your body, your church, fill our outstretched hearts with your spirit. Encircle us with your love. Make yourself known to us in new ways, in exciting ways, and in challenging ways. Empower us, inspire us, O glorious Trinity. Hear us today as we pray to you together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Be seated. On page 249 of the Chalice Hymnal, you'll find the song Spirit. It tells the story of ways in which God's Spirit was active from creation through the ancient Israelites, through the time of Christ's death and resurrection, and on Pentecost Sunday when the apostles gathered in the upper room and the Holy Spirit blew among them. The last verse speaks of future ways that the Spirit might move. We will sing this together in celebration of Pentecost.
Thank you.
the children come forward for a time of sharing? Blake broke his ankle this week, so that's why he has a cast on this morning. We're glad he's doing okay and it's going to heal up. He'll be running again soon. I have something to show you all that you all know all about. You've seen it before. What is this? It's a balloon. Right now it's kind of, it's kind of limp. It doesn't look like it would be any fun. I mean, what do you do with a balloon? If it's just like this, you can't do much with it. I mean, I guess you could do like a rubber band and fling it at somebody, but what do I need to do to make the balloon more fun to play with? Blow it up! Okay. Do you think it needs to be bigger? Yeah, okay. Levi says bigger. There we go. That's big. We're going to tie it off. And then we can toss it around. We can play catch. You know, sometimes if you don't have any air, you're just kind of limp and you just don't feel like playing or running or catching. But when you get some life in you, there's a lot of fun things you can do. In a way, God's Spirit is kind of like that breath of life. It fills us up. It gives us delight, so we laugh with joy. And it's fun. You know what? God isn't just about a little joy. God is about a lot of joy. We need to make sure that all God's children have a balloon to play with. I wonder if any of the big kids out there want a balloon. What do you think? Maybe we should make sure the grown-ups get a balloon to play with too. This side needs a balloon. We can't just let the pulpit side have all the fun. The lectern side needs a balloon. Woo! I turned right around into you. Your balloon. Did you get it? God gives us joy to share with others. And on Pentecost, it's okay for these balloons to just bounce around during worship. Kind of silly and fun. You want that one? You already have two. How about we pray together and then you all can take these balloons with you? Does that sound like a good plan? Levi, we're going to hold hands and we're going to say a prayer. Hold on to your balloon. There we go. It's hard to hold hands and balloons, but we got it. Dear God, we thank you for your Spirit that fills us with the breath of life. We thank you for joy and delight, for sharing your love with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Bye-bye, Levi.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Our children are headed out for children's time with Tricia Woods today, and you are welcome to continue tossing around balloons in the sanctuary. Our prayer this morning focuses on being blown by the Spirit of God. In the back of the sanctuary, there are wind chimes hanging, and occasionally you may hear the sound of tinkling bells to remind us that we are people who are blown by the Spirit. On the back of your bulletin, there's a list of prayer concerns. And as we share these, I encourage you to take a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you. There's a postcard that has a picture of the church on one side. The other side is blank so that you can write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them. Our card shower today is for Virginia and Lee Yan. Lee was in the hospital earlier this week. He is home, but continues to need prayers for recovery. Prayers also for Chuck and Susie Stewart. Chuck was hospitalized this week, but discharged and is back home as well. Prayers of recovery for both of these gentlemen. Monica Decker is at the hospital now. Cal took her to ER yesterday. After about 4 hours, they admitted her. She has colitis, and they're doing some liver tests to make sure her liver function is well. He said she may get to go home as early as this afternoon, but we're praying that they keep her as long as she needs to be there and she gets the treatment she needs to be strong enough to return home. Some additions to the prayer list from chapel this morning. Lolina Shamba has an infection. She has had one surgery and there's another surgery coming up. Prayers for strength for her body as she fights that infection. A friend of the Deckers, Marva Hoffner, had a son, John Jackson, who died of a heart attack. He was only 50 years old. He was in Foreign Service stationed in Rome. Prayers for John Jackson and for his mom, Marva. Kathy Malloy is recovering from pneumonia. Her lungs are doing well, but she just lacks strength and energy, so prayers of healing for her. Kathy Morrison is having severe back pain and was not able to be in worship this morning, so prayers of healing. We continue to hold in our hearts those who have lost loved ones recently, including Jackie Greenlee and Errol Miller, both of whose sons passed away in recent weeks. Prayers for those families as they move forward and remember their loved ones and celebrate their lives and ask for peace and healing. The missionary we're lifting up today is John Campbell Nelson, who serves in Indonesia. And in our own congregation, we pray for volunteers to help with property projects around the church. It is an ongoing need for our congregation. Our regional prayer partners today are campers and sponsors in the Central Rocky Mountain Region Summer Camp and Conference Program. Our own campers will be headed to La Forêt this week and next week. Our FCC campers are Colin and Max Stewart, and their dad, Abel Stewart, is going as a counselor. Kylie Stupak is very excited about being at camp this summer, and Sarah Williams will be a camp counselor for the first time at La Forêt. So prayers for all of those young people and adults, and also for others from across the region who will share in that adventure of the spirit and the beauty of nature. We want special prayers lifted up on an ongoing basis for the members of our Congregational Search Committee. As most of you are aware, last year we had a congregational vote to move ahead in the process of seeking an associate minister. The vision at the time was to call an associate pastor who would come and serve alongside your present lead pastor, and then there would be a time of transition. Anticipating God's call in my life in the future, we thought that this associate could then perhaps step up and be the next senior minister. God has an interesting sense of timing, and a call has unfolded very swiftly for me. I will be serving as the next senior minister at First Christian Church in Portland, Oregon. Charles and I will prepare to move the end of August. My first Sunday there will be September 8th. This means that our search committee has already shifted their focus. Instead of looking for an associate pastor, they're looking for the next senior minister to lead this congregation. We are truly blessed by a very strong search committee. They represent well the diversity of our congregation. It includes regular attenders from both worship services, people who have sung in the choir, been involved with scouts, worked with Christian education, volunteered with our preschool. The committee includes singles and marrieds. It includes parents of young children and parents of older children. It includes multiple generations from the congregation. So it is clear that it was God's work to put together this search committee. It would have been possible when they learned they were looking not for an associate, but for a senior, for any one of them to say, nope, that's not what you asked me to do, I'm not going to do it. But they all agreed to accept the new charge that the board has given. So God has blessed us in that we are already a step ahead and looking for new leadership for this congregation. I encourage you to pray for Annette Ambrosino, Steve Brown, Carmen Goodman, Maggie Grooms, Joan McNamara, Linda Mosteller, Robin Nelson, Keith Rouse, Spencer Stupak, and the alternate George Morrison. They are currently meeting on Tuesday evenings, so Tuesday is an especially good time to pray for them and to pray for their families, because this involves a time commitment away from home for multiple meetings. Prayers for God's Spirit to guide this entire process. And I must share with you that it has truly been a privilege for me to be your pastor for the past 10 years. And I know that this congregation is healthy and has a bright future. And God will lead you someone who has even greater gifts than I have offered, who is just the right person for this time in the life of this congregation. That's a lot of prayer concerns for us to ponder and consider today. Are there any others that we need to add to the list? Paul.
I spoke with Joan Crow this morning. She lives in Buffalo. She is the niece of Winnie Allen. As most of you know, Winnie Allen is our oldest living member. And Winnie is resting very peacefully. She's not eaten now for 2 or 3 days or had liquid. So she's getting ready to meet the Spirit of God and to enter into heaven. Now, Winnie is very persistent at living, and she may overcome, but we want to remember her in our prayers and her family. She gets closer. She's very comfortable with God and where God is taking her.
Prayers for Winnie Allen as she prepares to journey to heaven. Not many people get to be centenarians. It has been a blessing for us to have such a long-term member in our congregation. And we ask for God's Spirit to surround Winnie and to be with her niece Joan in caregiving. Debbie.
I have a joy to share. Yesterday we had kids the First Adventist youth group from Loveland, Colorado. And they came and made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, made the whole lunches, helped distribute them. They came back in the afternoon and they brought material and they gave blankets. And they actually ended up tying 18. It was wonderful to work with them. They were a great group of kids. And they really enjoyed being there. It was nice for us to meet them. They really enjoyed Bob and Lloyd's meetings when they were doing the lunches. So.
What a joy to be able to share the ministry of our congregation and community with others. We give thanks for those young people who traveled here to help with sandwiches and blankets. Belle.
My cat has been missing since Thursday morning. Prayers for my cat to come back.
Prayers for Belle and her missing kitty cat. Prayers also for Dan Bilbisi. Dan has been struggling with headaches and some short-term memory loss. He had an MRI done this week, and they've discovered that there is a misformation of the spinal column right where it joins his skull, and so that's putting some pressure at the back of his head. And he's encouraged that they're going to try some medication as a possible first step towards treatment. So prayers for Dan that that will go well. Prayers also for Cheryl Dion, our nursery attendant. Her son, Wyatt, has run away from home. She has not heard from him since Tuesday. She did hear from a friend of a friend that he was staying with someone he knows in Evansville, so she thinks that he's safe, but it is very nerve-wracking for a family to have a teenager who is struggling so much. So prayers for Wyatt and for Cheryl and all of their family. Are there others? Yes, Trudy.
Prayers for my niece, Casey, who died of breast cancer, and it started 16 weeks of chemo. She's already
Prayers for Casey as she goes through chemo. This morning, as we pray together, periodically the wind chimes will ring to mark a time of silence when we seek the Spirit of God and lift the concerns that we have shared this day. Let us pray now, and together may we be blown by the Spirit of God. O Holy One, we trust that your Spirit still speaks. You breathed upon the waters at the beginning of creation. You formed the earth from the deeps. You cast stars across the distant stretches of the universe. O Holy God, there are times that your Spirit whispers to us in a still, small voice. And in the sound of utter silence, we know you are near. There are times, O Holy Spirit, that you roar through your people like a gale force wind. Help us to listen always for your voice and the stirring of your Holy Spirit. May we, your people, your church, be blown by the Spirit. O Holy Spirit of God, you bring healing to a broken world. You bring hope to corners where lives are fragmented and torn apart by violence. We pray, O God, for peace in every place that your love touches, in every human heart, in all of creation. We ask, O God, for your blessing to be upon John Campbell Nelson and work shared in Indonesia, as well as across the mission field, from the doorsteps of our own church and homes to the farthest corners of the globe, may people be blown by the Spirit. We pray, O God, for your Spirit to move in new ways among the young and the old alike. We pray for our campers and camp counselors this summer as they gather at La Foray. Watch over Colin and Max and Abel Stewart, Kylie Stupak, Sarah Williams, and others from across the region. Bless them with safe journeys to camp and a meaningful time to share and learn and grow in faith. May they be blown by the Spirit. O Holy God, we know that you invite us to join with you in eternity. We pray for those who have made the journey before us and others who may join you soon. Lord, we continue to pray for Brad Greenlee and Mark Miller and John Jackson and their families who love them. We lift to you prayers for Winnie Allen as her physical form begins to fade. We know that her spirit is strong and trusting in you. O Holy Spirit, guide Winnie's journey to heaven that she may dwell with you on high. For those who have been called to heaven and those who will go soon, we pray that they are blown by your Holy Spirit. We ask for healing, O God, for friends and family, for those who are struggling. We pray for Kathy Malloy and Kathy Morrison, for Lalina, for Dan, for Casey as she goes through chemo and fights cancer. Lord, we ask your healing strength to be upon all who are sick or suffering. We pray, O God, that you would lead those who are on life adventures, whether they are joyous or hard. We thank you for the youth group from First Methodist in Loveland and the mission work they shared here yesterday. We pray for Belle as she longs for her cat to find its way back home and be loved and safe. We ask your blessing upon Wyatt. Lord, we pray for all teens who struggle so much with many issues that they feel they have no choice but to leave home. Oh God, we know that Cheryl is a loving mother and she longs to care for her son. We pray that your spirit would craft in their family new ways for deeper dialogue, that they might talk to each other and listen. We ask you to watch over Wyatt and keep him safe. Bring him home soon. Be with Cheryl and her husband and her other children as they are anxious. May your presence guide them, O God. May all of these, your chosen ones, your beloved children, be blown by the Spirit. We ask your blessing, O God, upon people who earnestly seek to follow your calling and the leading of your Spirit. We pray for wisdom for the search committee and the entire congregation here at First Christian in Casper. We pray, O Lord, that you are already preparing the person who will be the next lead pastor in this place. Stir in the heart of that one that you will call to come here, a desire to move to Casper and put down roots, to connect with all members of our congregation, young and old alike, to serve faithfully with the gifts that you have placed within them in creative and caring ways. O Holy Lord, we pray your blessing upon all congregations that are seeking pastors, upon clergy who faithfully try to listen for the leading of your Spirit. Bless your people, O God. We pray for those who are in new jobs, who are accepting new positions, who are moving and making changes in life. O Holy One, for all who are living through new beginnings or anticipating change on the horizon, may they be led and blessed and guided by your Spirit. Indeed, may they be blown by your Spirit. Through all the prayers that we have offered this day, aloud and whispered in our hearts, we ask humbly that your Holy Spirit would continue to stir. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our first reading in the Word of the Lord today is the Litany of the Spirit and can be found on page 246 of your hymnal. It's a responsive reading that we'll read back and forth. From out of our silent depths into visible corporate acts,
come, Holy Spirit, come.
Gathering the fragments of our church into a living icon of the redeeming, reconciling, prophetic Christ.
Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Bonding together the dissenter, the affirmer, and the questor.
Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Radiating the power and the light of our rainbow-hued people. Revealing your presence in and among each perceived or self-defined minority, wounded, lonely, or angry.
Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Gathering the fragments of our church into dynamic communities of faith engaged in prophetic, redemptive, and reconciling ministries of love.
Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Often on Pentecost Sunday, we hear the story of that first Pentecost when the apostles gathered together in the upper room behind locked doors. They were hidden away and frightened, but then the Holy Spirit came and moved in their midst, stirring among them. We're told that there was a sound like the mighty rush of a wind, and tongues as of fire appeared above each of them. In your bulletin this morning, you've received a red ribbon bookmark, symbolic of that tongue of fire. As you use it during the week, perhaps to mark a passage of scripture or tucked away in your wallet where you'll see it and be reminded of it, may you feel God's Spirit touching your daily life throughout this week. The scripture text that we will reflect on together comes from Romans, the 8th chapter. If you want to follow along in the Pew Bible, you're invited to turn in the New Testament to page 158. We will hear Romans 8, verse 14 through 28. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. The creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. Not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good, for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O Lord, in this time of reflection, we seek your Holy Spirit to come and guide us. Plant within us anew a deeper understanding of your holy word and connect our faith with our lives, that your Spirit may blow through all we are, all we say, all we do. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations and actions of each of us, that our lives might be acceptable in your sight, O Holy One, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. In the original Greek, the text actually says, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And it's significant because in ancient biblical times, when Paul's letter was sent to the church at Rome, when this text was first written, Sons were the ones who inherited a parent's wealth and estate. Sons were the ones who had a right to own property. And so God tells us that all, male and female, young and old alike, Jew or Greek, slave or free, all are adopted into the family of God, not as stepchildren, but as sons, as those who have a right of inheritance. When Paul was writing to the church in Rome at that period of time, there was actually a common practice of adoption. Members of the early church would take into their own family children who had been orphaned by war. Some Christian households would even adopt the children of their slaves so that they could become Roman citizens. In that time, the social structure was such that there was a definite hierarchy between Roman citizens and foreigners and slaves. And if you were born as the child of a slave, you were going to be a slave. The Christians found a way around that. And so Paul was writing to a community like ours that knew the joy of adoption. We are blessed by Phil and Becky Ostrander, as well as other families in the history of the congregation who have adopted loved ones to become their own children. Levi is their son. He's not some exchange student visiting for a little while and then leaving. He's not their adopted son, though technically and legally that is true. He is their boy. They are mama and papa to him. That same connection of family love and lifetime commitment is what Paul wanted the church to understand about our relationship to God the Father. We are adopted through Christ. And when we cry, Abba, Father, it is God's own spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are sons, children, inheritors of God. We cry, Abba, Father, significantly. That phrase used by Paul is one with great intentionality. Abba itself is an Aramaic term for papa or daddy. The word ab means father. And literally, Abba also means father, but it's a term of affection that young children would use. Those of you who are parents might remember that when your own children were first learning to talk, it was easier for them to say words that had a repeating syllable. That's part of why so often little children will call their mother mama or mommy, and it's only later she becomes mom. The same with daddy or papa, maybe even dada, is one little baby's first word. That repeated syllable is easier for a child to say. And Jesus invites us to be in such an intimate relationship with our heavenly Abba, Papa, Mama, our heavenly parent. Jesus invites us to be in such an intimate relationship that it's like we are newborn children learning to speak the name of the one who loves us so. When we speak God's name in love, the Holy Spirit speaks through us. The Holy Spirit bears witness in our lives when we speak of our faith. I invite you on this Pentecost Sunday to reflect back on your own life and think of times when the Holy Spirit moved. Now, some of us may have had the opportunity to be in an exuberant worship service, perhaps even in a Pentecostal setting where there's a fervor of the Holy Spirit with praise songs being lifted high, people raising their hands. There is an ecstatic energy when people worship in that way. But that's not the only way to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes God's Spirit stirs in quiet, sacred moments. not just in worship, but even in daily life. Perhaps you're standing in line at the grocery store and checkout's going kind of slow. You start conversation with people around you, and in the course of that conversation, you feel this little nudge, this little urge, just to share. People are talking about what they're doing next weekend because the weather is supposed to be nice, and you speak up and say, well, Friday night I'm going to a potluck at First Christian Church. It's a great place. There's fun people. There's going to be lots of free homemade food. The young man behind you says, wow, that sounds good. It turns out he's a worker in the oil field, has just moved to Casper, he's homesick, missing mom and dad, doesn't know anybody. So you turn around and you invite him to come to church. You've never done that in your entire life and you're terrified, but there's something inside saying it's okay. And so you just invite this young man to come have a manwich on Friday night, and you promise that the manwich will not have actual ground man in it. One evening this week, Charles and I were eating dinner at a restaurant, and the waitress was explaining that the special was a vegan dish, and she described it in great detail. And Charles, my husband, who apparently has a wit like Nicholas Groom's, said, how many vegans does it take for you to make this meal? Thankfully, the waitress laughed. So you invite this young man to come at Friday night, and lo and behold, he actually shows up. You didn't think it was going to happen, but the Holy Spirit is really at work. He comes on Friday and discovers church people aren't as scary or weird as he thought. They're kind of normal folks, and the food was pretty good, and people actually talked to him and got to know a little about him, and there seemed to be connection between his life and your lives, and so someone there invited him to come on Sunday morning, and lo and behold, he showed up Sunday morning, and the week after that, and the week after that, and then that young man's life was changed, all because the Holy Spirit nudged you to step outside of your comfort zone. That hymn, Spirit, that we sang today was sung at my ordination 24 years ago. It speaks of a plea that the spirit of restlessness would stir us from placidness. There are times that God's Spirit truly is restless. There's this nudge, this sense that God is calling you to be or to do something more. And it's a little terrifying, but you step out, you try new things. Sometimes that even happens to the church. And the church tries new things. In the 60s, it was terrifying, but guitars were introduced into worship some places, and even drums. And the Spirit moved, and new people came to church. Today, there is a movement alive, fueled by the Spirit, to launch new churches. Our Pentecost offering supports new church starts, and many of the new churches that Disciples of Christ are launching look nothing like a traditional congregation we would recognize. Sometimes they're a meal group that meets weekly around a table for conversation. Sometimes they gather in a storefront or a school or a living room instead of a church building. But the Spirit of God is there and at work. Have you ever had the experience in your own life when something happens that it feels like it could just be a coincidence, but oh my, it worked out for the greater good? Maybe, just maybe, it wasn't a coincidence, it was a God incidence. That time that you showed up in just the right place, at just the right moment, and you helped someone who was in need and you didn't even know you would be there. It was the Holy Spirit leading you. Or that time you were thinking about a friend you had not spoken with for years, and you just felt this urge to pick up the phone and call. You greeted them by name and reminded them how the last time you'd seen them had been at that 30-year class reunion 7 years ago, and you were just thinking about them and wanted to call, and they share their spouse has just been diagnosed with cancer, and they really need a friend to talk to. It was the Holy Spirit that made you pick up the phone in that moment and call. God's Spirit moves in mysterious ways. Sometimes on a grand scale that we are able to see and proclaim, but sometimes also in the subtle stirring of the human heart. When did your journey with the Holy Spirit of God begin? My faith journey started 52 years ago, the day I was born. I was fortunate to be in a Christian family. I never asked my mom, but I'm guessing the first or maybe second Sunday that I was alive, I was in church. That's the kind of family that I had. Your family may have been different. You may not have been introduced to Jesus Christ as a baby or a teen at summer camp. Maybe you were an adult before anyone talked to you really about God's love. And something happened in your life that maybe was just a curiosity enough that led you to seek out a faith community, a church. Maybe you were traveling alone and staying in a hotel and you were bored, the television didn't work, so you opened that Gideon Bible in the hotel room and there was a passage of scripture that got you thinking. When did your journey with the Holy Spirit begin? A follow-up question to that, when did your life of ministry begin? Oh, I know you might be thinking you're not a minister, you're not a pastor or a priest, you're not an ordained whatever, but all baptized Christians are ministers. My life of ministry began the day I was baptized. I might not have known it at the time, but that was when God first got a hold of me and began to call me to serve in the church. A more specific call unfolded in my life with the nudging of the Holy Spirit when I discerned God leading me towards ministry. It was July 16th, 1995, 24 years ago, when I was ordained at First Christian Church in Alamogordo, New Mexico. The banner that's hanging in the back of the sanctuary with a dove on it was hung in our sanctuary that day. It matched the bulletin cover I had designed for that service because I really wanted the focus to be on the Holy Spirit, on God's call. You see, a life of ministry, especially a life of ordained ministry, it's not about you, it's about God. It's not about the servant, it's about the one who is served, the one who calls. That Spirit of God was stirring in my life 10 years ago when I accepted the call to move to Casper, Wyoming. And it was clear that it was God's Spirit because Charles, my husband, who is a big city guy, was willing to come. To this town of 50, 55,000 and in the middle of the West, I knew that it wasn't an ideal place for Charles to live. You see, he'd rather move to New York City, heaven help him, or Los Angeles, where he's lived before, or Phoenix, where he grew up, or San Diego, or San Francisco, or Paris, or Berlin, name a big city, and my husband's there. For 10 years, we had been living in Bloomington, Illinois, the population about 110,000 at the time, and he thought that was a small town. So when First Christian Casper's search committee, chaired by Ted Grooms, called to ask if I'd be willing to be considered as a candidate, to be one of several folks they would interview, I first asked Charles, "Would you be interested in moving to Wyoming?" He could have said, "They don't have a single city, let's look someplace else." But what he said was, "They have mountains." We both grew up in the West, and after 10 years of flat corn and soybean fields in Illinois, knowing we'd be close to Yellowstone sure sounded good. And the search committee tried to sweeten the deal. They said, "Be sure and tell your husband we've got a mountain right here, Casper Mountain, right outside of town." God's Spirit led us here. And what a blessing it has been to be in ministry in this place. God's Spirit has again stirred in my heart. In part because I know that I have gifts I haven't yet been challenged to fully develop and use. But in part also because I sense this congregation being ready for a new adventure with God's Spirit. I think, I feel, I trust that it's God's Spirit telling us that someone else needs to be the one to lead you to that new next thing. So I began looking and praying and asking and questioning. And every time the conversation about an associate minister came up, someone would turn to me and say, "You're not going anywhere, are you?" And at that moment in time, I could honestly answer, "Well, no, I don't have any plans to," because I'd not received a call. I had talked with some churches, but to tell you the truth, none of them were more fun than you guys. None of them were a place that I wanted to go, thinking about what I'd be leaving to get there. And then God surprised us. I received a call from First Christian Church in Portland, Oregon, of all places. Now, God has a sense of humor. Our elder chair this year is Cindy Huckfelt, and she really does not want her pastor to move away, even being faithful and following God. She's kind of been struggling with that. But ironically, Cindy's daughter, Karen, lives in Portland, Oregon. So when I announced Monday night to the board and elders combined that I was indeed accepting this call and sharing a letter of resignation for this fall, Cindy turned to me and she said, "Well, I'm not going to get to see you." And I said, "What do you mean? I'm moving in September. Karen's wedding's in October. I'll see you a month later. It will be okay." There were moments during the conversation with a search committee in Portland that were confirmation to me that it was the Holy Spirit's call. I actually had phone conversation with two different congregations within a week. In the phone interview, one congregation didn't pray. It wasn't a big deal. They were kind of focused on asking questions and just getting basic information. It was early in the process. The search committee from Portland started and ended the conversation with prayer. Not only that, I have to tell you that the very first interview I had with them, I just had a good feeling about the possibility. I'd read their website. There were things that were exciting about the congregation. The sanctuary is beautiful. The church is a wonderful place for a former historic architect to be in worship every week. So I was really hoping that that would be where God would lead. I knew it would be a good community for Charles. So before my interview with them the first time, I planned on setting aside an hour to be in prayer before I even answered the phone. And I had this glorious plan. I was going to set a candle on my desk and light the candle and close the door and just pray. Well, life happened. I was at the hospital, and it was a busy day, and I rushed home just in time to pick up the phone. And the first thing that Linda Payne, their search chair, said on the other end was, "Before we begin, we're going to light a candle and say a prayer." And I thought, oh, man, my candle's in the other room. So by the time the second phone call came, I had my candle ready. Last Sunday, Charles and I were in worship at First Christian Portland. And that same little candle that has been lit here in Casper and is kind of half melted on one side was set on their communion table next to a tall, strong, flaming candle. Those two little lights for me represented the journey of the Holy Spirit. My hope is that the search committee here in Casper will also be so steeped in prayer that when they pick up the phone and talk with people on the other end, it will be clear that the Holy Spirit has someone amazing, ready to come and serve in ministry in this place. In Paul's letter to the church at Rome, he says that he considers the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to come. If right now feels a little scary to you, know that that's not where you're staying. You're moving forward, and God will lead that future to be full and bright. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. That very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. My guess is over this summer and the next few weeks that we have together, over the span of almost 3 months before our move, there will be times when we find ourselves sighing, or maybe laughing, or crying. All of that is prayer, because all of that is a sign of the way in which the Spirit of God has knit together our hearts with deep and lasting connections that cannot be severed by distance or time. Today's reading from Romans 8 ended with my mother's favorite verse of Scripture. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God. I like a variation of this translation that says, God works for good in all things. God is working for good in the life of First Christian Church Casper, in the life of First Christian Portland, in the life of the Universal Church. And even in places in our world where there is injustice and brokenness, even in places where it seems there is only darkness or sin or hate, even there, God's Spirit is working for good. Sometimes like a roaring wind, sometimes like a chime, and sometimes like a still whispering voice. This week, my friends, my sisters and brothers in Christ, may you listen for the Spirit of God stirring in your life and answer the call. Amen and amen.
Even though in our beautiful state there are places still receiving snow, it is summer. And during summer at First Christian Church Casper, we celebrate communion through intinction up front. So today, as we prepare to celebrate communion, we'll come forward down the center aisle. Offering trays are set here at the very front of the pews. You can come forward, take a piece of bread, dip it in the cup, and eat it, and then return to your seats on the outside aisle. For those of you who prefer not to come forward or are unable to, there will be a diaconate that will work their way and serve you where you sit. So don't be afraid of that. Today is Pentecost, and on Pentecost, that is a day of special offering. There are special offering envelopes in the pews, and there's more information about our special offering, the Pentecost offering, in your bulletin. It is for new churches. Half of the money stays here in our region to plant churches with it amongst our neighbors, and the rest goes out beyond that. Keith will be bringing us a message next week, so if you feel moved, you'll get another bite at the apple for that special offering next week as well. With those administrative items out of them. Communion is a time of reflection, but it's also a time of renewal. A reset on the past week and a refresh on the week to come. These ideas that are a part of our table celebration make me feel like throughout the year, we celebrate Pentecost in a small way each and every Sunday. But today is Pentecost, and I'd like to share with you a message from a group called the Skit Guys. This is the text of a new video that they published to mark the celebration of Pentecost. I urge you to look up the video, as it's much more polished than what you hear from me today. This is Pentecost. Everything is different. Everything is new. Everything. This is the birth of the church. The wind swirls, the hurricane blows, the stale air is forced out, the dust disappears in an instant. The air is fresh, the light is all around, the Holy Spirit enters our lives, and we become a new creation. It turns us around, turns our lives upside down, blows away the stale and the old. Christ enters our lives, and we are made new. We are made whole. This is the birth of the church. We are gathered here in this place, in this time, to be something new, to refresh the old, to reboot the past, to be the church God created us to be the new creation. This is the Pentecost. God is here, Christ is here, the Spirit is here, and we are a part of it. We are the new creation. Amen. Please join in singing our hymn of communion, number 263 in your hymnals.
Surely, God's presence is here. God is present each time the bread and cup are broken and shared. God is present each time the faithful gather. Whether 2 or 3 or 2 or 3,000, God is here. We remember the night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were together, he took bread and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. Each time we gather at the table and invite others to come, the Holy Spirit draws near and bears witness with our spirits to the undying, eternal love of God. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
At Pentecost, O God, we give thanks for the church and its survival through the centuries. With so great a cloud of witnesses, we are given heart as we break and eat in rededication this element of our salvation. Enable us to be worthy members of your church as we celebrate its beginnings. Thank you for its continuing influence in human life when we open ourselves to the indwelling of your Spirit. Bless, O God, this cup of remembrance. And may a spirit such as that at Pentecost pervade our lives this day as we drink the cup of this communion table. Guide us in our daily living. Amen.
Will you please pray with me? Dear Lord, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we praise you for all of the individual blessings you bestow upon us. Bless these offerings of gratitude and guide us in their use to further glorify you. Amen.
there is anyone present today who is feeling that nudge of the Spirit, that you need to ask for special prayer, that you want to rededicate your life to God, or perhaps accept Christ as your Lord and Savior for the first time. If there's anyone here who's looking for a church home and you feel moved to join First Christian Church, you're invited to come forward. As we stand and sing together, Breathe on Me, Breath of God, number 254. Julian Ibarra was the pastor of Disciples of Christ Church in Juarez, Mexico. My dad used to know him because he would bring a group of men from Mexico across the border to men's retreat every year at Carlsbad at our church camp. When I was ordained, I invited Julian to bring a group of young people and members from his congregation to be present at my ordination. I was touched this week as I was looking for music for us to sing today on Pentecost Sunday to find in the hymnal these words written by Julian. I want to be counted among those who are in the upper room waiting, contrite of heart, singing together and unanimous in prayer. I want to be counted among those who are ardently desiring that on this day of Pentecost, friends, I hope that you are also yearning that the burning flame of the Spirit of God descend upon you, upon me, that both our hearts be entirely burned and thus purified, free from anger, hatred, and passion, free from ill will, jealousy, and envy, free from transgression, criticism, and gossip, free from malice, animosity, and grudges. Lord, here are my knees, my heart, and my tears. So here I will wait that with your Holy Spirit you may light my life. Amen.